Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Not emojis.
Not emojis. Emotions. No.
I believe there's a lobster emoji. I'm sure Nigel will get to that. The unveiling of 700 new emojis.
Oh, well, that's...
Do you have that in your
news? Can I tell you that
your news?
On my phone, every time I try to press the thing that gets me into punctuation marks, and I end up with some stupid picture of a deer.
Oh, yeah, you're pressing the smiley face.
Yeah, and
that's why you sent me the emoji with the money tongue.
I want to have to go... I have to go backwards. I really don't like this.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Streets Northwest in Friendship Heights, where we have a very big crowd. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
Holiday crowd. We are serving brunch, apparently, all day this evening.
Fantastic.
Monday Night Football, local for us. Saints hosting the Redskins. I will be a guest bartender until the game tips. Then I'm going home. Gary Williams will be a guest bartender. It is possible that the socialite will be a guest bartender. And I think, though I'm not sure, but I think we'll have a New Orleans theme food situation. I think...
Like beignets and things?
I wanted that.
You've been threatening this for a week
now.
Well,
that's what Ron said to me. And then when I said that on the air, Elizabeth went crazy.
Uh-oh.
Said, don't you say that. And I said, well, Ron...
you just said it, though, again.
So anyway, but something good will happen.
Yes.
And we'd like to invite you all on a holiday to come and sit outside, if you'd like, during the day, brunch all day, and Monday Night Football at night.
Tone, as I walked in this morning... beautifully fall themed.
Yes, I said the
Chatter
same
sign.
The socialite's wife.
Pumpkins.
Yes, I found out that the socialite's wife did that.
Oh, fantastic.
That was very nice.
Love it.
So going back to the emojis, this comes from Jason Wyland in Brookings, South Dakota. I am sure you have received this information from many littles already, but in case you have not, I wanted to help you removing those damned emojis from your phone's keyboard. Instructions below for removing emoji keyboard from your iPhone. Emoji. One, hand the phone to Michael. Two, go to Michael's in South Carolina. It's hard to do. Settings. Three, select General. Four, select Keyboard. Five, select Keyboards. You will now see a listing of your active keyboards. Six, select Edit in the upper right-hand corner. Seven, select the red button to the right of Emoji and select the Delete button that popped up to the right of Emoji. Eight, select Done in the upper right corner to save your changes. Nine, Michael, give the phone back to Mr. Tony. 10, all done.
These are detailed instructions.
Info
How about
life.
That? You're going to hold on to that.
He put it in his notebook.
Yes. Just put it in the back of the yellow legal pad.
Exactly what I want to do. So on a Monday morning, coming out of the NFL and baseball, you say to yourself, well, what should we begin with? And the answer, of course, is the NFL. You begin with the NFL, and then you say, well, is there a particular game that you should begin with? And it's not so much that there is a particular game, because you wonder, what is the biggest news? So the biggest news is probably that Kansas City remains unbeaten and the Los Angeles Rams. And the Los Angeles Rams do something very exciting. Los Angeles Rams are playing Seattle, and the Los Angeles Rams defense, not that great yesterday. Allowed 31 points to Seattle, not a great scoring team, Seattle. And then they scored a touchdown that should have been the tying touchdown, but their kicker missed the extra point.
Amazing how many kicks have been missed.
Well, Mason Crosby missed everything for Green
Left
Bay.
What, 14 points on the board.
Four field goals and an extra point, 13 points.
Well, 13, yeah.
So, and now
you
win the game, because they lose by eight. You win the game if he kicks normally. And he was a Pro Bowl cook here at one point. So Sean McVay has the ball fourth and one on his own 40, something like that, in the fourth quarter where he can kick it away and see what happens. And in fact, he puts his kicker on the field, and at that, not his kicker, punter on the field.
Punter, yeah.
And at that point, Pete Carroll calls time. And when time comes back in, Sean McVay puts Jared Goff out there, and they go. And he sneaks it. It's the Tom Brady. It's the patented Tom Brady sneak that has worked for 15 years in the NFL. And they get in position to kick a field goal, and they win the game. And you say to yourself, boy, there's nothing I don't like about Sean McVay. There's nothing.
Yep.
And so they move on. As teams move on, you look around and you say, well, who's not moving on? Well, the Philadelphia Eagles are not moving on, really. And the Green Bay Packers are not moving on. And although Minnesota beat the Eagles, Minnesota's got a couple of losses. Denver's got three losses. I mean, you look around at the landscape. This is the oddest thing. No matter what happens tonight, The Washington Redskins will be in first place in the NFC East tomorrow.
Two-game lead if they made
No matter what happens, the Chicago Bears will be in first place in the NFC Central tomorrow, no matter what happens. So we are seeing this is a league that always has at least one team that goes worst to first, and we are seeing it right in front of us. And the Browns should be 5-0.
Browns
are,
could be.
Browns are 2-2-1.
2-2-1. But by the way, they could also they're pretty close to being 1-1-3.
Well, yes.
I mean, I think they should be 5-0. If they had a kicker, they'd be 5-0.
How about, by the way, one other team I guess I'm surprised by. The Bengals, I believe, are 4-1 now.
Yes.
Yes, and they were down 17-0.
They won 27-17.
The Browns, it should be pointed out, in the wake of last week's robbery with the ball spot on that Carlos Hyde third down play, which ultimately cost them the game against the Raiders.
Yes.
Had a situation late.
Raiders have only won one game. John Gruden, 10 years, $100 million. They won one game.
And he doesn't look ready for prime. I mean, that team is the same old Raiders, just undisciplined, bad penalties at bad times, bad clock management errors. So late in the game yesterday against the Ravens, I guess it was now in overtime, the Browns had a guy on sort of a double move essentially get tackled while the ball was in the air.
Absolutely, and they didn't get the flag because they said Mayfield threw it too deep.
So the ruling is interesting. It was uncatchable, which it was, so they did not call pass interference. And illegal contact or defensive holding cannot be called once a pass has been released.
Right. So, by the way,
that's ridiculous.
I will say this. It looked like it was
a foul,
cost them as well.
But we can't call it.
I like Mike Pereira. And I've always liked Mike Pereira. Mm-hmm. I don't need Gene Steratore. And I don't need Dean Blandino.
Nah, Blandino, you may as well bring back Mike Carey.
You know, I do like Mike Pereira.
I do
very
love
much.
When in the review where they go to the guy now, and you know the former official, and he's like, I don't know, that looks like a fumble to me. Fill in the blank guy, and they come back and they're like, ruling on the field stands, it is not a fumble. They're always wrong.
So let me go to the Browns for a second. Hugh Jackson went on 4-5 with 4th down and 5 to go. He went. In fact, he just threw his hands up. He just motioned.
Stay
just
out
get
there.
Back out
I'm not
there.
Putting
get
the field goal kicker out there.
That was crazy.
And it would have been about a 57-yarder to win the game. And I'm thinking, like, if you're in the NFL, don't you have to feel confident that you can line up and attempt a 57-yard field goal? They got a rookie kicker, of course.
So okay. So what is the most exciting moment all day yesterday? I think it's Graham Gano. I think it's Graham Gano kicking a 63-yard walk-off field goal.
I mean, that's
to
deep.
Win to beat the Giants. I just thought it was great. Gary just spilled coffee all over.
Oh my! That's my move, Gary.
It was just an excuse to take my shirt off, but Nigel waved it off.
Nigel's going to give him the shirt. Lucky he didn't spill it anywhere near your computer.
Did Graham Gano, when he played for the Redskins, did he ever kick it 63?
I didn't know he had that kind of leg.
And let me say, that thing would have been good from 70. I mean, that went through halfway up the upright.
That was an amazing thing.
Nigel, my apologies.
What did you watch? What did you see? Kansas City throttled Jacksonville.
And
that's big time.
I thought in a very...
And the kid got intercepted twice.
I was going to say, in a weird way, they scored 30, right, Gary? Or 30. They were crushing them. And Mahomes had a relatively pedestrian day.
Had his worst day. Had 2 picks and no touchdowns.
Which is remarkable, which should scare you if you are playing the Chiefs. Because history suggests, at least recent history suggests, he's going to be broadly better than he was, and yet they beat the Jaguars, who thrashed the Patriots. And
it's
I mean
so odd, like the Jets won,
the Bills won.
So Tony, which do you get, Siciliano or Hanson?
Get Hanson. Okay. I have Red Zone on cable, not Red Zone on dish.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have the same. So you probably heard this, or maybe you didn't, but at one point he referenced, this was I think the 7th time in the modern era that the highest scoring offense was playing the highest scoring defense.
Jacksonville, Kansas City.
Correct. Interesting.
And in the previous 6 meetings,
I would have bet
the highest
defense.
Scoring offense had won them all. And this,
okay,
and this is
well.
Now 6 of 7. Which is
so now, by the way, on Sunday, I think it's Kansas City, New England. That will tell us a
Sunday
lot.
Sunday night.
Kansas City,
great
New
one.
England tells us a lot. Now, the last time Kansas City played New England, if I'm not mistaken, in a regular season game, they beat them by 5,000
points. It was Monday
points.
Night. Last year or 2 years ago?
We didn't talk about it because it happened Thursday night, but the Patriots, for the second week in a row, just
They look totally. Like the
I mean, I know the Colts aren't great, but they look totally dominant.
But
I mean,
when you get Edelman back,
yeah,
he changes everything,
and that allows Gronkowski a certain amount of room. And if Josh Gordon,
well, I mean, if he can,
then all of a sudden, they're really except on defense where they're not good.
Yeah,
all of a sudden
and
on offense,
Sony Michel,
they're a 40-point team.
And Sony Michel looks Sony Michel and James White. He threw the ball. I know this because James White's on my fantasy team. He threw the ball to James White 8 times in the first half. For like 75 yards and a touchdown. I mean, they just
and don't forget a lot of weapons. The 2-2, the 1-3 start in September. They do that sometimes, the Patriots, but they know October. And Belichick and Brady's October record is crazy.
I watch these games, and in that window from 3:30 to 4:15,
red zone, the greatest.
Like every single game, there's at least 4 games every week that goes down to the wire, and you go, "Wow, look at this."
I'm just looking at the standings.
The evening games aren't that big.
There's not a lot of great teams. The Rams and the Chiefs are undefeated, but there's a lot of like. I mean, do you feel good about Tennessee at 3-2 ahead of the AFC South?
How if you're Tennessee and you won last week in overtime?
Yeah.
How can you lose to Buffalo? How do you do that? How do you lose to Buffalo? Has nothing.
Didn't we basically? I mean, if you said last week who are 3 teams that are terrible, I would have said Arizona, Buffalo, and the Jets,
and they all won.
Right,
and they all won. Now each one of those rookie quarterbacks has a win.
Yep.
Each one of the highly drafted rookie quarterbacks has at least one win. And by the way, Baker Mayfield looks like a star,
doesn't he?
He looks like a star.
Yeah, it really does.
He looks great. I mean, they didn't score a lot, but he looks. I mean, he threw for
in that overtime on the last possession.
Yes. He looks like a leader.
When he brought him down. That's exactly what he looks like.
I mean, he just looks like a leader.
He does.
Like
he really does.
He still throws it in weird places sometimes, but he looks like a leader. I mean, Brett Favre threw it in weird places, but you take him. I mean,
from Mike in Gaithersburg, Maryland, the Eagles and Giants have each lost twice since the Redskins last played. If our bye, our meaning the Redskins, could be extended another few weeks, we might clinch the division. Although I guess that wouldn't be good for business at Chatter.
By the way, another interesting stat, given these Thursday games, which I read Friday, was Andrew Luck threw 121 passes in 5 days between Sunday.
So I guess it shows
they are. And Roethlisberger, I looked yesterday, the number of attempts, I think Blake Bortles threw it 61 times.
But,
I mean,
Leonard Fournette is not playing for
them. But Yeldon had a pretty good game. I mean, they were behind,
Did you see Wentz's numbers relative to Cousins' numbers? Because they were both terrific. They both completed like 75% of their passes. They didn't have any interceptions. Nope. Philadelphia have they lost 3 times?
Yes.
Are they
2-3?
Yeah.
And by the way, those Cousins passes were guys in his face. The line was not protecting him.
Yeah, that was a pretty gutsy performance from Kirk Cousins.
And there was another call where he got sacked by Bennett.
Michael Bennett.
And
not
you're like,
Tony Bennett.
You're like, that's a sack. And they said it was a personal foul. And that led to a touchdown for the Vikings.
It definitely was a sack. I got to get all my stuff here to get ready. I got to do a read. I'll do a read.
Get
Let me just say this. This is from Alicia of Madison, Wisconsin, home of the University of Wisconsin. I hope this letter finds you well. If you're in the mood to spread good cheer, I have an opportunity for you. My fiance, Joshua, is celebrating his 26th birthday on the 15th of October. He has listened to your podcast with a gusto equal to your love of cows. So this birthday wish would make me woman of the year. Speaking of cows, we have met before. We were the lowly folk from Madison, Wisconsin, who visited you at Chatter very early on a Tuesday morning this past July, bringing you cheese curds, small talk concerning cows, and a one-to-one chat with Steve Sands about Badger game day jump around. We had a lovely time. We also hope that you will entertain the idea of attending our wedding. We gave you a save the date last visit. Free alcohol and cow gazing will be made available during the entire wedding day. But if that is not enough, you should know that we've invited the Obamas. So you'll have friends there.
Brilliant.
It's wonderful. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back. Michael Wilbon will join us and try to, of course, dismiss the NBA. Dismiss the NFL in favor of the NBA. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper read. You've heard me talking about Casper for some time now, and that's because Casper makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest at affordable prices. You spend a third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. The original, you know, a dog spends about 7/8 of his life sleeping, and my dog
that's
has
science.
A Casper. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. The breathable design helps you sleep cool, regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Casper isn't only a mattress company, they also offer a wide array again, that's hard to say, of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Not only are you getting the best sleep experience, but Casper overall purchasing experience is hassle-free. They deliver right to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box, plus free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. And for my listeners only, Casper is offering $50 towards select mattresses by visiting Casper, CSPER.com/Tony, and using the promo code Tony at checkout. The only way to get $50 towards select mattresses is by going to Casper.com/Tony and using promo code Tony at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Andrew Bell, who writes, I'm a singer-songwriter living in Wilbon's beloved Evanston, Illinois. On October 12th, I'll be releasing my newest album, Dive Deep Hushed, and wanted to contribute one of its tracks to your show. It's called Horizon. I figure it's the least I can do in exchange for 8 years of laughter and thoughtful commentary on so many cultural and sports-related moments. If you listen very closely to the first chorus, you can hear me singing Edith Saliza in reverse, sort of a Paul is Dead type situation.
I'm the walrus.
My music has been used in dozens of television shows and films over the years, but a feature on your show, sandwiched between Michael reading an ad from MeUndies and an orangutan picking football games, would put this whole thing over the top.
Get it right.
Just a monkey. Thank you for consideration. Speaking of Michael Wilbon in Evanston, Illinois, Wilbon joins us now. And Wilbon and I played golf on Friday. We had a lovely time. And I said, it's supposed to be nice on Sunday. Would you want to play early Sunday? And he goes, no. Sunday, I watch. That's what I do. I watch. And I said, well, we could be done by around 1. Nope, I watch. So I assume you watched before we get to the NFL.
Please tell him you golfed with someone else, Wilbon. It'd make it much better.
That'd be amazing.
Actually, yesterday I didn't watch. I went out and played with Obama. But
much congratulations on Northwestern beating Michigan State.
Thank you. A surprise win. We've beaten Michigan State 3 straight times now, including
really
2 years ago, also at Michigan State. So, you know, nothing can make up for losing that, blowing that 17-point lead over Michigan, and in the previous week, I think an 18-point lead. I think it was 21-3 over Akron.
Akron, yeah.
I mean, you just look at it. We should be 4-1, but we won a Big Ten. We're undefeated on the road in the Big Ten this year. But it's still a long season. We got an interesting trio of games coming up, Tony. Which is winless Nebraska. Wow. 0-5 Nebraska, who they're getting better. They're going to break through. I don't want it to be this week. We got winless Nebraska. Then we've got Wisconsin, and then a little school that they call Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
That's, you know what? That's big. By the way, and who would have ever predicted this? Because I was one of those guys who thought that the Scott Frost hire would immediately impact positively Nebraska. Chip Kelly and Scott Frost are 0-11, Mike.
How about that?
They're 0-11.
No, 0-9.
I thought it was 5-6.
No, 5-4. I thought it was 5-4, but maybe I don't know.
Nebraska. Sure,
they haven't won any. We know that.
They're 0. We're midway through, and they're 0.
0 for.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. It is. Scott Frost. I mean, my friends in Nebraska, including our dear friend Mike Gleason, they
were
so thrilled to have Scott Frost. The day that Scott Frost first let it be known he was willing to leave the state of Florida to go back home, I could never have said that. And I understand that he's digging himself out from under an avalanche, but 0-4 for Nebraska?
It's amazing.
No.
All right, so let me get to the NFL, and in a struggle to sort of find out, not so much that you want to talk about particular teams or particular games, and yet one of the biggest headlines for me all day is the fact that Mason Crosby missed 4 field goals and an extra point, and Graham Gano kicks a walk-off 63 yards. We don't often talk about kickers, but what do you make of those? Green Bay wins that game if he kicks normally.
Probably. I mean, it's the kind of game now that gets you cut. Even if you're
yes.
a guy who, you know, might down the road get some Hall of Fame votes in your life, you that game loses your job.
Yes.
That job, kicking. It just And it was just, you know, you saw the pictures to me that captured the whole thing, where him standing there talking to Aaron Rodgers, or Rodgers talking to him, trying to talk him down off the ledge. I presume Rodgers wasn't with his hands, arms folded, saying, yeah, stay right here because I hate you too. I presume it wasn't that.
I don't know.
And yeah, I mean, Tony, that was the stunner. The Panthers, I was watching that live at the time, and they had just done a couple of the dumbest things you've ever seen.
Yes.
To get in that position.
Yes.
I mean, it was unbelievable. They were beating the Giants. It was a two-score game. The game's going to be over easily, and then they're going to lose. They should have lost.
And they're throwing when they were up late.
Just crazy.
Throwing up late, stupid passes.
I know Rivera is your boy, but you look at him, you go, what are you doing?
Riverboat Ron.
What are you doing? And then the kid makes it from 63.
63, yeah.
Just so that was exciting. Cleveland, I know we talk about Cleveland to great excess, but A, they should be 5-0, and B, Baker Mayfield. We talked about this at the beginning of the show. He looks like a leader, doesn't he? He looks good.
He does. He does. But he does. There's no question. I mean, he's a rookie, and he's going to have some moments. He had some moments too. There were a lot of what are you people doing moments yesterday, late in games that either cost somebody or allowed a breakthrough, like the Panthers situation. But of course, Tony, to me, the game that I paid the most attention to yesterday was Kansas City.
They beat them.
They beat them like a drum. Yeah. And Kansas City is not supposed to have any defense. They're not supposed to be able to stop anybody. And yet they had, early in that game, Jacksonville could not move the ball. Now, we've seen Jacksonville be a dog offensively as well. They lost a 9-6 game. But to me, it's Mahomes almost every week. Mahomes is now appointment football.
Yeah. I agree.
And he had his worst game, relatively speaking. He was picked off twice.
He had one pick, I think. Only
no,
one,
two
right?
times.
Yeah, two picks.
Did he have two?
Two.
Yeah. But
two
he was
pick.
Playing against the best defense out there.
And if you want to see the difference in quarterbacks, and I'm not saying this to say that Blake Bortles is terrible, but boy, oh boy, I mean, he's throwing it off his own guys' heads. I mean, he's you know.
But he is often terrible.
Yes.
Yeah. He's inconsistent.
They don't look like a team, and they did beat New England badly. But they got, in fact, when you watched yesterday, and you needed the red zone to do this, when you watched Kansas City and when you watched the Los Angeles Rams, you looked at two teams where you said they appear to be a cut above. Even with the Rams, you know, nip and tuck all the way against Seattle,
well,
they appear to be.
In division, you know, that's, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, those were the two. Look, the next 2 weeks, how about this for the Patriots? The Patriots now have
Kansas City.
Now that game's in New England, right?
Sunday night.
I don't know.
I think that's correct. Okay. Yes,
right. I think that. And then they get at Chicago. Ooh, a date that you say, okay,
that's right.
I'm still trying to figure out what the Bears are, and they got to buy this week. So
well, here's what they are. They're a first place team.
They are, as are the
Redskins. Well, amazing. First
it's still early, but I want to see. I'm going to go to the Bears New England game, Tony. I'm gonna go to that. That's 2 weeks from yesterday, the 21st at Soldier Field. I just want to see how good is this defense really, and that's going to be that's the first supreme test since they lost the 20-0 game to Aaron Rodgers.
So when you watch yesterday and you watch all of these sorts of wonderful performances, and we can dwell on Mahomes because he's been great. If I had to vote for an MVP right now, I would vote for Todd Gurley. This kid is great.
He's great.
He catches it and he runs it.
I'd vote for Mahomes.
You would vote for Mahomes?
Yeah.
I think it'd be those two.
I got no problem with anybody who wants to argue for Todd Gurley.
He's been just...
Gurley's also playing off of a quarterback...
That's right.
He's having a pretty spectacular year as well.
That's right.
To Mike's point, Goff went into yesterday with leading the league 11 touchdowns. I mean, he's been outstanding. I mean,
I mean, Goff's been great. He made some big plays yesterday in that game late, including late. How about when he talks his coach into running that quarterback?
Fourth and one.
That was great. And so Gurley's got that. Not that Mahomes doesn't have some great playmakers that he's running with as well.
Gurley gets some of the credit for how good Goff is.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that. I'm looking at the box score from yesterday. I mean, everyone knows Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, but he's throwing to Jay Reynolds and T. Higbee and G. Everett and K. Hodge.
Are
guys.
Todd Gurley is a difference maker.
Oh yeah,
Todd Gurley.
I'm drinking the Mahomes Kool-Aid right now. And again, you know, when guys are this young, you're looking for, you know, each one of these situations to say, okay, let's see what you got now. I mean, the biggest test so far was at Denver, right? At Denver for Mahomes. He's going to go out there and he's going to go again.
Yeah. You know, Denver, not a good team, though.
Couldn't stop the Jets.
A division game, a blood rival, a great defense, and he thumps them. And now he's got Jacksonville. Oh, they got the best defense in the league. Now he's got New England. So there's that's something to really look forward to.
He makes two or three throws a game, Mahomes does. It's unbelievable. Like, he's across his body or moving the wrong way, and it comes out with a velocity like you've never seen before.
So one thing to be said, and this is a team that both Mike and I distrust every single year, but here is a team that we have not mentioned, and they are the Los Angeles Chargers. They are 3-2, but their two losses are to the Rams and the Chiefs. The Rams and the Chiefs. What if they're really good?
Well, then Tony Dungy will look like a genius.
That's right. He liked them in that division.
He told us to start the season. His dark horse teams he really liked were the Chiefs. You know, I can't trust the Chargers. I love when they wear the baby blues. I was explaining to Matthew yesterday the baby blues and certain jerseys. Like, the Bears are going to come back next week with orange. They got rid of those since, like, the Devin Hester, you know, second or third year, they got rid of those, the orange third jersey. With these are the Chargers. It was their first jerseys, the baby blues. There are a few uniforms left that make me go crazy when I see people
wear them. Hadle to Allworth, baby. Hadle to Allworth.
How could they not wear those every week? Tony, by the way, I know that you don't care about this, but I got to tell you, the biggest story of the weekend wasn't anything that happened yesterday. It just wasn't. The biggest story, a story in an old-fashioned way of headlines, reaction, I can't believe the combination of things around this, was Saturday night in Las Vegas. Saturday night in Las Vegas, that UFC fight, first of all, Conor McGregor being tapped out, having to tap out, that's a story enough, okay? That's a big deal.
Then there's a riot?
Tony, I was out late Saturday night. And I was at Georgetown, and I went to Cafe Milano, and I'm standing on the street, and two Georgetown students come up, and they recognize me, and they said, "Well, how could you not watch the fight tonight?" Because I said, "I'm at dinner with friends. I, what happened?" And they said, "First of all, Conor McGregor tapped out." And I go, "Whoa!" I started screaming on the street, and they said, "Then the aftermath of this is the craziest thing you've ever seen, even for boxing," or in this case, you know, the distant cousin of boxing.
Kick fighting.
And they began to explain it to me. So I get home. I walk in. It's 2:15. And I turn on SportsCenter at 2:15. I start watching a Dana White press conference, which you have to see in its entirety. There's nothing ever like it. And Mike Tyson tweeted, "This is crazier than anything I ever did." And I watched, no lie, I watched the press conference. I watched Dana White's press conference. And then the two fighters, I watched all these guys. I watched this stuff until 4:15 live.
You guys have so much in common.
Yeah.
Well, I was getting up at 4:15. I was getting up.
I am not an MMA guy. I'm just not. I do pay more attention the last few years to personalities like, you know, Ronda Rousey, you know, obviously, you know, 2 years ago was in the news in a huge way and then flamed out. And then Conor McGregor, of course, the last 2 years has been the biggest guy in this sort of, you know, hand-to-hand combat sport. Tony, there was nothing as riveting yesterday as Saturday night. Again, I'm talking between 2:15 and 4 a.m. live.
So I mean, I paid attention to it. I looked back on it. I read the stuff. My opinion, I'm sure, is far different than yours. This happens every single time Conor McGregor fights, one way or another.
Well,
somebody's attacking a bus or attacking a group of people.
But this was the opponent.
I know,
who
but
jumped out and started beating one of his other guys.
The guy went flying like Batman.
Arrest him,
Octagon, Tony. No. Just like there was nothing like. Look, boxing had something all the time, and there was nothing like Fan Man.
Yeah.
When you see a guy flying like Birdman of Alcatraz into a ring. I was at that fight. There was nothing like that. There's nothing like this. No. There's nothing like as at one point Dana White even said. And by the way, Dana White had a press conference that no leader of any sport would be as candid, as forthcoming. Dana White said when they asked him how much trouble this guy's in, the challenger whose name I can't even come up with.
Khabib.
When they said, how much trouble is he in? He said, well, the governor was taking cover and running out of the building. So what do you think?
No,
the governor of the state of Nevada. I've never seen, and I didn't watch, again, I have not seen, other than the clips, I've not seen the fight. But I will tell you, I have never engaged in anything MMA related, UFC, whatever it's called. I've never engaged in it this long with this level of sustained interest. I could have watched. Finally, I just said, that's it. It's 4 o'clock. It's past 4. I got to go. If this had been midnight, I would have watched it all night like a great movie. It was unbelievable. And we have to get to it, Tony, because the number of views, the number of people who watch.
I'm fine getting to it. I have very conservative view about it. That's how I would cast my. I thought that Conor McGregor should have been arrested. He was arrested. I think he's a common thug. I don't know anything about this other guy, but this sport encourages this kind of behavior.
Sure.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
So does boxing.
Not like
boxing
this.
Did?
Not like this.
Yeah.
Not like this.
Yeah, Tony.
No.
I saw a guy fly into a ring.
Yeah, but he wasn't the fighter.
No.
He wasn't the fighter. The fighters do this.
I saw a fighter bite a guy's ear off in a ring. I was there for
that. That's right.
That was pretty nuts.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so,
that's right. But that was during the fight, not after.
MMA, it was this event. And by the way, Conor McGregor in this case was the guy who apparently waved off the potential to charge these people. And they basically said, okay, we were going to arrest you and charge you. We're going to let you go now. Because Conor McGregor says, let him go.
That's great.
Let's have a beer.
Let's put Conor McGregor on the Supreme Court. That would be good. Thank you, Wilbon. I'll see you later.
All right,
Tom. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will take a break. We'll come back. Nigel will do the news when we return. I guess we should talk about that later in the show. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the 23andMe ad. 23andMe is a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits. So 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, sleep quality, caffeine intake, sense of taste, and whether you're likely to be lactose intolerant and more. I just think you'd know that if you were lactose intolerant by now. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube. I did this. I'm waiting.
I witnessed it.
Spit into
it.
The tube provided in your 23andMe kit
for all of us.
And mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed or mail it somewhere. You can get the bitter taste report and the sweet versus salty reports and how DNA can play a role in determining your food preferences from sweet to salty to bitter. The deep sleep report tells you if you are more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA. Again, you can ask somebody. The saturated fat and weight report tells you based on your genetics how your weight might be affected by saturated fats in your diet and offers tips on which foods to watch out for if you're trying to eat less saturated fats. All of these things are helpful. I suspect that most people do this just to find out, you know, what is the country of origin and, you know, and what is your ethnicity.
Yeah. And we've determined
like fascinated
that.
By that.
Determined yeah. You're from the Oslo corn.
Oslo, yes. Right. I think I'm Norwegian. Order your 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service Kit at 23andMe.com/Tony. That's the numbers, 23andMe.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Joseph Hedges sends this in. Apparently, I missed the memo that this is the new destination for aging, happy-go-lucky ska music. The band Keep Off from Cheshire, Connecticut, the famous prep school in Cheshire.
Yep.
Was made up of marching band and video game playing friends in high school circa 1999. They all loved ska music and one day realized they could all play enough instruments to form their own band. They mostly wrote their own silly stuff like the Milkshake song, Hostage Situation at the Amoco Station, and this one, Every Passing Second, earning its namesake during the creation process when someone yelled, "This song gets cooler with every passing second." 5 minutes later, they had these magical 3 minutes. Parenthetically, the song was the favorite of all the involved parents, so maybe I'll connect with a fine wine such as yourself. I don't really know. It'll connect with a fine wine such as yourself. And maybe by hearing this played on the podcast, it'll finally turn my twin brother, the trumpet player, into a dedicated everyday listener. La Cheeseria, no eat it for Saliza. He is the best Connecticut pride.
How about
yes.
that?
Isn't that good?
Cheshire, right near where I grew up. I probably know that person, which is why he's nice to me.
Joseph Hedges, so if people want to send in their original music, even if it is from 1999, how do they do so?
They can send it to us at jingles@tonykornheiser.com. And I would point out, even if your brother or your children are in a band,
they still have to sign off.
They have to email us and give us their permission. But please, get them involved. We'd love to hear your music. We've got all kinds of great music, and everyone is just so amazingly talented. We're also selling something, Mr. Tony.
What are we selling?
Iguanas.
Just no, go we're not
at MrTony.com and
terrific.
Buy it.
I've been in the market.
We yes, are not I know selling you have. Iguanas. No,
no but
not.
This is the place, just to reemphasize what you said at the show open, for those just tuning in now, this is the place to be for Monday Night Football with the Redskins.
Yes,
you
yes.
be here.
Yes, we will yeah. be here.
And all
be
day,
here.
Brunch all day.
I will be here till the tip-off.
Are you staying from now until the tip-off?
No, I'm going to actual work.
Oh,
I'm going to the gym, and then I'm going to actual work.
Actual.
Yeah. So what have we got, Nigel, with the news?
Mr. Tony, we'll start off with some other NFL. We talked about a lot of the games.
We've got to get to baseball at some point.
Would you? Well, we'll start with baseball.
No, go ahead. NFL.
Do your little thing.
Just do that little thing right there.
Nigel, what have we got?
How long is this segment?
God, this is lasting forever, isn't it? It's a nightmare. Did you talk about the Steelers beating the Falcons?
We did not.
That was one game, yes. 41 points for the Steelers. And what happened to the Falcons? Weren't they in the Super Bowl?
2 years ago.
They're
1-4.
1-4. They're done, right?
They're done.
Yeah.
And whereas the Steelers, that might have been a season-saving win for them.
Yes. Whichever team won that would be allowed to say this may have been a Super Bowl, a season-saving win.
In that division... That's sort of a mess with the Steelers. So that's starting to look like a 500-ish.
But in the other one,
to...
a couple of teams have winning records, and the Atlantas do not.
Right.
Yes. Like New Orleans does.
Well,
and
New
Carolina
Orleans 3-1,
does.
Carolina
3-1. Yeah. Yep.
And I think I just saw something that Breeze needs something like 200 yards to set the all-time passing record.
Which
yards,
he's going to
correct.
Get.
I would think that he would probably
maybe
get that done
half.
Tonight.
So this was so great. On PTI, the last time I was on, which was Thursday, on PTI, one of the things we were asked to do for the 6 o'clock Sports Center was comment on the notion that Breeze was going to set this record, and where does Breeze rank all time?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Wilbon had him like 53rd or something like that. And Wilbon says, quite justifiably, he goes, look, these producers here, they think that football started, you know, two weeks ago, 5 years ago. And, you know, you got Johnny Unitas.
Yeah,
you got Joe Montana. You got a lot. You've got a million people who were great, great quarterbacks. And it's stupid to try and rank somebody like Drew Brees. No matter what else happens at the moment, you certainly rank Brady ahead of him. You have
right.
to. Brady
yes.
has 5 Super Bowls.
Yes.
And more people would rank Rodgers ahead of Brees than the other way around.
And Favre.
And Manning.
Well, but I'm talking about just the contemporary guys.
So yes, those
that
two.
Doesn't take into account the 30 guys right. over the last 50 years. You stop.
So the best example of this I saw a couple of weeks ago at the height of the Fitzmagic movement was the stat that
that was brief.
Fitz had thrown 14 more touchdowns than Troy Aikman in his career in 44 fewer starts. Which just tells you how much the game has changed.
Statistics. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Game
foolish.
Done changed. So. Where does Deshaun Kaiser fit in that ranking?
He's the worst of all time.
Oh.
Unless
heard
you
that.
Want to throw
Kaiser
straight
so
up in the air.
All time.
Yeah, he's
go
just
ahead.
Miserable. I think we pretty much covered the rest of the games.
Just go to baseball.
All right. We will go. How about baseball?
We need to celebrate our friend, the great Bill Isaacson, who roots for the Brewers. This is his team.
Yep. He's the guy.
He lived in Milwaukee. This is his team. They won three. Not only did they win 3 straight, but if you watched yesterday, they had this amazing thing happen in I think the sixth inning or maybe the eighth inning, in which the Brewers scored by a balk and a wild pitch while Curtis Granderson was just standing there. A balk and a wild pitch. They scored two runs, and I don't know if Granderson gets credit for the RBIs. I can't imagine.
No,
but
no,
probably it was not. Very, very wild. The pitcher was Oberg, who had done very well, and he dropped the ball on the mound. That was a balk. He threw it low. It bounced through the catcher's wickets, and that was the end of that. The Colorado Rockies, managed by the saintly Bud Black.
Buddy Black.
Who could have come here and won every World Series.
Once in future, King.
You know, they had 28 innings to bat. They scored one or more. They scored two runs in one inning, and in 27 innings scored no runs.
Unbelievable.
Wow. No, and they have runs.
They have Charlie Blackman, Arenado, and Trevor Story. Story. Now, I know you say, it's Coors Field and it gets pumped up. They have to, half the games they play somewhere else, and those guys hit. I mean, Arenado's line is ridiculous this year, like 38-110 or something. I mean,
they played in Colorado last night and got shut out.
In what looked like terrible freezing rain, last night. So we congratulate them. They will have home field against either the Dodgers or the Braves. Braves stayed alive.
Yep, went 6-5.
So did you watch it?
I did not watch. I was watching the football yesterday.
I went back and forth. And in the first inning of that game, Walker Bueller.
Something B-O-O economics.
So there's two on, and then Dave Roberts says to the pitcher, we'll just intentionally walk this guy in order to get to the opposing pitcher. We're going to intentionally walk him. We get to the pitcher.
Legit move.
Yeah.
Bueller throws four straight balls and walks the pitcher.
Good move.
You can't do that.
Four straight. No. That forces a run in.
I didn't think he had to throw. Can't you just say you want to put him on now?
This is to the pitcher with bases loaded. Right. And then he throws at least one ball to Acuna, maybe two, and then Acuna takes it out, and it's 5-0. You haven't watched this game for more than 15 minutes, and it's 5. The Dodgers climbed back and tied it and then lost it to a home run to Freddie Freeman, who in Washington we think is a great player because he's always beaten the Nats.
Yes.
So that series continues. And then tonight, there are the two American League games, right?
Actually, all three games today.
All three tonight?
Astros-Indians at 1:30. Astros lead that series 2-0. Dodgers.
Oh, they lead it because they threw Verlander and Cole.
Yeah.
Now and you're not going to beat them. And I don't know that you're going to beat Keuchel.
Dallas Keuchel.
I don't know that you are.
Clevenger. Actually, Mike Clevenger, I think I've seen him pitch a couple of times. I think he's really good. So I would think that the Indians have a good chance to win
so
today.
So it starts at 1:30. I'm off for the holiday. I wish there was somewhere I could go to watch these games.
Yeah. Go to Chatter. Oh,
what?
Chatter.
Will they be on here?
Chatter. It'll be on. We're going to have these games on.
I just wish there was a place I could get a nice T-shirt for $12.
Yeah,
how about that? $12 American right here. Chatter T-shirt, yes. So at 1:30, that's your game. 4:30, Dodgers, Braves, Rich Hill against...
So this will hurt our ratings.
Mike Fultonavich.
Because, you know, people watch
live sports.
What are you going to do?
And then Yankees, Red Sox,
7:40 is the game time.
How about the Yankees in game two? How about banging them out?
How about Gary Sanchez in game two?
Gary Sanchez hit under 200 for the year.
Yes.
He had two home runs in that
game. But in like 15 at-bats versus David Price, he has like 12 home runs.
David Price is now 0-10 in 11 postseason starts. And 0-10 in 11 postseason starts.
He's good in relief. He's won games in relief.
May be where you see him next. I'm not sure that they trot him out on that hill again. I know they're all talking tough and say, oh, no, we love him. We've got all the confidence in the world with him.
How do you explain that?
He just pitched very poorly. I mean,
how do you explain his postseason when his regular season is good?
It's mystifying. He's had a couple of, they talk about a couple of games, one with Detroit where he let up two runs and lost that game 2-1, but his ERA is over 5. I mean, for those teams.
There'll certainly be bad luck involved, but you have to be a pretty good pitcher to go 0-10 in 11 starts.
Clayton Kershaw, now he had a great game the other night.
He was good, yes.
But Clayton Kershaw often goes 5 great and gets hit in the 6th, or often goes 6 great and gets hit in the 7th, and that's what happens. He'd never gone into the 8th in a postseason game.
But David Price got 5 outs. I mean, it was just...
No.
Just miserable. And Sanchez hit another home run that put the game away. So,
478 feet.
And the shot from Judge I mean, I think that it's landed somewhere in Hyannis. I'm not sure.
He's just gigantic. Yeah.
And when those guys...
He's huge.
When they go to the plate, him and Stanton and some of the other guys, I mean, you just look at them, they look just like a different species.
Yeah.
So
who is pitching tonight?
Nathan Eovaldi and Luis Severino.
So Severino, okay.
Eovaldi has been very good this year.
He has been very good.
I mean, the Red Sox won 108 games.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing.
Yes.
Okay.
And so the Yankees won 100.
To college football, Mr. Tony. Nothing shifting in teams 1, 2, 3, and 4. However,
we are for Notre Dame here.
Oh, yes, Notre Dame.
Because of Brian Polian. We are for Notre Dame. Gary, you went to see him.
I did. Went down to Blacksburg. Was able to grab lunch with Brian before the game. Saw a great game. I had never been to Blacksburg. Phenomenal place to take in a game. Even wearing enemy colors, the fans were tremendous. Very kind. Excellent tailgate. Saw Chris Colston a little, who's a friend of ours, who invited me to stop by his tailgate, which I happily did. Thankful that I did. They tailgate down there, man. They know what they're doing.
I think we should find Andrew Bubas, who is one of the managers of this restaurant right now. And we should say, Andrew, go out and get a Notre Dame flag.
You want to fly the Notre Dame flag?
We ought to be a Notre Dame bar.
I believe we should.
Chris, it's a big sigh for Chris because
he's Georgetown.
Tatum.
But you don't have a dog in this fight. Au contraire,
Mr. Tony.
Yes, we're going to get to that in a second.
Okay. Did you win?
Georgetown. Georgetown 23, Fordham.
Boom.
11.
Okay. Now, get rammed.
I should point out.
Yes, but you're not going to play Notre Dame,
aren't we?
I don't think so.
The best part about that reporting is Chris needing to Google up the score because 30 seconds ago.
No, I knew we won. I wanted to get the score. And by the way, yes, I just dropped a wee. 23-11.
By the way,
Fordham Rams.
I should point out that game, the results of that game are being contested. That people think there was something amiss with that final score.
Okay,
game.
But I want to get a Notre Dame flag because I think that'll get people in off the streets.
Sure.
I mean, not the kind of person you'd want in here, but
not
get
an
people
easy
in.
Path. But Notre Dame has a path to an undefeated season, which you have to think would get them in, right? Someone above them would have to falter, but
No. Notre Dame.
It's a television show.
And Notre Dame is the university of college football in the United States of America. So, yes, they get in.
But LSU.
The only school out there that gets in over Notre Dame is Alabama.
Yeah.
That's it. Right. Notre Dame gets in.
They look pretty good.
Alabama?
Yeah, Alabama. Yeah.
Every game,
65-31. And apparently Saban was just really upset with his team's effort at that point, specifically on the defensive side. Is that 14 fourth quarter points?
Tua's line every game is roughly this.
11
10 for 14, 400 four
yards.
Touchdowns, 400 yards. It's unbelievable.
LSU loses to Florida. Texas beats number 7, Oklahoma. And what's that called? The Red River Shootout? Is that what it is?
And they fired Mike Stoops.
And they fired Mike Stoops.
Win the Carvo call, by the way.
Auburn loses.
They fired the defensive coordinator after that game.
You're kidding?
No.
No, yeah, Mike Stoops let go.
Yep.
Yes.
Out.
Yeah, sometime last night the news broke with that, yeah.
This is, it's going to be difficult for the Big 12 to get a team in the finals because they're looking at West Virginia, and I'm sorry, it's a television show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's television.
And West Virginia is undefeated, the number 9. They beat Kansas. As I said, Auburn lost to Mississippi State. We mentioned before, UCLA lost and Nebraska lost, both 0-5. UCF continues to win. They win 48-20.
They haven't lost since Frost left.
That's right.
Those are all those kids.
Frost was there.
Stanford loses. Maryland loses to Michigan. And Florida State almost with the upset over Miami. Miami holds
off.
And
Ohio State won easily.
Very easily.
All right. So that's it. Okay. We have enough. That's enough. Is there anything else you wanted to
do? Enough of that.
I do have a story about a driving teacher from Long Island. Would you like to hear about that? Russell Cohen, he's actually a substitute instructor.
My driving teacher was James Smilo, C-M-Y-A-L-O, James Smilo.
That's the greatest story
at high school.
Cohen, a substitute instructor for Suffolk Auto Driving School.
Suffolk,
was giving...
There's Nassau and Suffolk. Those are the two counties on Long Island.
He was giving 14...
I mean, technically, Brooklyn and Queens are on Long Island, but they belong to the city. So
he was giving 14's a driving lesson on Saturday morning. And apparently, he might have been drinking.
That's a mistake.
Two of the passengers, 16-year-olds Matt McGuff and Lila Mabanta, who were in the vehicle with Cohen, said the instructor began acting strangely shortly after the lesson began. Mabanta recalled Cohen making inappropriate comments to her and another female, causing them to feel really uncomfortable. Cohen and the teens stopped at a diner where the 58-year-old said he would buy food for them. He returned to the car, however, with no food and then demanded to get into the driver's seat so he can take the wheel. His erratic behavior continued. He hit the curb while driving 50 miles an hour before the student said, hey, why don't we go to McDonald's and grab something to eat?
Like so, coffee. A lot of it.
Right. So they went to McDonald's. The teens fled the car, went in where the manager called the police.
And arrest him.
Well, Cohen drove off without the teens when he saw what was going on.
They know where he lives.
Cops nabbed Cohen around 11:45 later that morning after he rear-ended another vehicle.
That's all.
So that was a busy morning for Mr. Cohen.
He loses his license.
Mr. Smilo.
He loses his job.
Yes.
He goes away.
And somewhere Mr. Smilo says that's not how we do it,
Will he be incarcerated for that?
Should be.
Yes.
Broke a lot of laws.
I forget what the charge of aggravated driving while intoxicated endangering the welfare of a child.
Children. Yes. Children. Right. No. Goes to jail.
And can I point out, this is not Saturday night. This is Saturday morning.
Goes to jail.
Making some bad choices.
All right. We will come back with what? With
Old Guy Radio. Yes.
No. Old Guy.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Let's do the Lowe's ad, my new go-to destination for craftsman products. If I wanted tools, that's where I would go. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store and online. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's craftsman lineup are mechanics tool sets in a gunmetal finish. And the gunmetal chrome finish, that's corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable and long-lasting. And the best part, if you're a stickler about cleaning your tools, it makes them easier to clean. Lowe's has this in a 51-piece and an 81-piece tool set in the gunmetal chrome finish. And the set comes with the new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet, which offers extreme accessibility. So if one of your projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to, and Gary, you do projects, and you can probably speak to how important a ratchet is, then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet. It has a 3-degree arc swing. You don't know what that does? Well, I didn't. I do now because I read this copy all the time. A 3-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. With its slim head and 3-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any fastener. And for people like Chris and myself, we are able to watch the person who we have hired get into that small space with the 3-degree arc swing and the slim head.
Yep.
Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto or do-it-yourself project on your list. And again, for Chris and I, do-it-yourself means, do you have the number of that guy? Yeah. Let's get him over here.
My wife said recently, I think we tripped a circuit breaker. And I was like,
what do you want me to do about it?
I don't do electrical. That's what I said. I'm not involved in that.
No, you better
we should buy another house.
You better call somebody on that.
House is broken.
She's like, you just flip a switch. I'm like, I don't know where that is. I'm not going to electrocute myself.
Downstairs? Nope, you do it. Shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You shake my nerves Old Guy Radio. Jerry Lee Lewis. Killer. You broke my will, but what a thrill. 61 years ago today, this was released or recorded?
Recorded.
Okay. This in the area of critical commentary. Jerry Lee Lewis is fantastic. He was utterly and completely overshadowed by Elvis Presley, who was a similar type of act. But Jerry Lee Lewis sunk his own career. He married his 14-year-old cousin, Myrna. Was that her name? Or Myra?
Myra
wants what it wants.
Like, you can't do that. I mean, that's...
The heart is a lonely hunter, Tom.
You can't do that. I'm sorry. In the big cities in America, that didn't go over as well as you might have thought. But Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. Big sneaky talent. Sneaky alive.
Yeah,
he's alive. I didn't realize he was still alive.
He's alive. He's got to be in his 80s.
83.
Yeah.
Yep.
By the way, this song sold 1 million copies in the first 10 days of its release in 1957.
That's when you had to go to a record store to buy it.
And you had to go track it down.
Can I say that I'm going to guess it was on the Sun record label?
It was.
It was on this. It was recorded in the Sun studio in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Using three people that were not the usual Sun backups. It was Lewis, somebody named Sidney Stokes on bass, and a session drummer who's nobody knows who that was. And in fact, Jerry Lee Lewis said, I knew Sidney Stokes, but I didn't know him that well either, and I don't know what happened to them people. That's the last time I ever seen him. That's strange, isn't it? That's the killer for you.
Can I, just one thing on his wife, because I'm reading up on it. They said she was, he was 22. They said she was 15. She was actually 13.
13.
She was his first cousin. First cousin.
Well,
cousin
once, can't do this. She's
17. First cousin once removed. And then perhaps the oddest thing that I didn't know, it was his third wife. Reminder,
really?
He was 22.
Yeah. He probably enjoyed
that
being married.
That was his third wife
and wanted
at
to keep
22.
Repeating it. Yeah.
And by the way, we should also point out there was a great incident with Jerry Lee when he was arrested in 1976 outside Graceland for allegedly trying to break in and shoot Elvis.
Oh. He wanted to shoot Elvis? He couldn't have been in his right mind at that point.
So I think he was a little off his game.
So
yes.
I didn't God bring this up me. Before with the baseball. Last night, I don't know about other people, but it's because of my job, I have to sort of try to monitor those sports which are on TV, which I may be required to talk about the next day. And I like baseball. I really like playoff baseball. Now, I will not pick playoff baseball on a Sunday over the NFL, but I was trying to find games because I had the sense that the National League games would be on somewhere. I had enormous difficulty. First, I went to ESPN thinking maybe we had the game. And we didn't. We had something that, you know, soccer or something that was obviously not baseball. And baseball was not going to come on soon because this was a live sporting event. And then I went to Fox. But Fox, of course, had the NFL on. So then I went to FS1 thinking that they might have it on. And they didn't have it on. And then I went to Turner thinking, okay, it's Turner. They'll have it on. And they did not have it on. And my last choice, and I had to, like, I was thinking, was MLB Network, and they did have it on.
Yep.
MLB Network had it on.
So I had the exact same experience.
I didn't know where it was.
Except before I went to MLB Network, I just said, oh, I guess there's no baseball, and I thought there was. And fortunately, I have a kid in the house who cares, and somehow got on his phone. It was like, oh, it's on 583.
It speaks to where baseball ranks in the overall.
But it seemed
to
be
you
want to
have your hands on the clicker so you can.
Right, you want to go back and forth.
Lull, right. You can go back and forth.
I've told you this before. I will just reemphasize it. There is a button on your controller that is it's C, just as the letter C. When you punch that, this whole screen comes up with all the sports that are on, tell you what's on the TV right now, and you can scroll through it.
I don't know how to do that. It's too complicated. So wait, you want to push the button?
It feels like a lot of steps.
You want him to push this button?
Because when you're like, I have no idea what these games are, when you see where that is, and you just click on it, and you're
well,
there.
Well, I mean, what if there's a letter B or a letter D? I mean,
in hindsight, what I think I should have done, because I have the Xfinity clicker where I can go.
You can sell baseball. Yes, you could do that as well.
Baseball, and I probably should have done that.
Yes.
In fact, I should have said playoff baseball.
Yep.
Because you want to narrow it down.
Yeah, otherwise you'll end up
with some. Sometimes what happens, and this is very weird, and I don't know if this happens in other people's houses, but I suspect it does. When you talk like that, the Alexa device goes on.
Oh, yeah.
And the Alexa device starts doing things.
Yeah, she's like, did you mean me?
And then what I'm told is you cannot have a conversation. You have to leave the room to have a conversation, or else Alexa will tape it and call the CIA.
That
checks out, yeah. But I do think it is always listening, because I would say that if people ever listen to your podcast, not on their headphones, every Alexa, which we're doing right now, by the way.
Because as soon
as you say the ad name, it comes on, and it's like,
Alexa,
I didn't understand that. You know, my wife wants to take it,
it's
smash it with a hammer.
Right. It never goes away. You have to kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to kill it.
I think it would be better if it was Bezos' voice. You're talking. Well, just
it
really
speaks to the whole expectation
very,
of privacy thing
it's
we were
very
talking
odd.
About.
Do we? Is there anything more about Brett Kavanaugh that you would like to say? He's a Supreme Court justice now. Will he be able to carry on his? I'm assuming
victory
as a jurist,
lap tonight. Is this going
to be
broadcast
able to do that
tonight?
Yeah, I mean the vote doesn't come with an asterisk. You know, you get there are 9 people who get to vote. He's now one of them. I would say he in the very near future potentially could be voting on whether Trump can be either indicted or subpoena. There's a case moving through. It's not specifically about Trump, but it's about
affirm that.
It's about federal. Yeah. It's about federal officials and their capacity to be indicted or subpoenaed in cases that could involve them. So, you know, I mean, There's a reason that there was such a big fight over the Supreme Court, because it's for life. And look at the last 5 years, gay marriage, constitutionality of health care, legalized gambling. It has a lot of sway culturally, and you are going to have, there are cases moving up. This will be the big fight. There are cases moving through state legislatures and regarding abortion, because there is a 5-4 conservative majority now. John Roberts is the ideological center of the court now, and he is not certainly not where Anthony Kennedy was, and he was the ideological center. So we'll see. But I mean, there's a.
So I understand that there will be lasting scars on this, but will there be a lasting rift on this?
I think there was a rift before. It's not as though the two parties got along prior to Brett Kavanaugh being nominated to the Supreme Court. I mean, I think there will be some, because it happened so closely, you know, the election is in 29 days. I think there will be some residual effect there. I think it is likely to help Democrats, and they were already in a position to be helped. They were already, history would suggest they would do well in this election. So I don't know if it will. It certainly isn't going to make anything better. I think it may lead to more divided government. So you have the Democrats controlling one of the chambers of Congress. Obviously, Trump's still president. But my gosh, it's just, it was just depressing all around. I mean, it was just, you know, the last month has been brutal. And most of my days are not brutal. I know people are like, oh, how can you do this every day? Most of them are okay, but the last month has just been dispiriting. But, you know, again, the Supreme Court vote doesn't come with an asterisk. It's not as though Clarence Thomas, because he got there on a certain vote, or Neil Gorsuch, or Roberts, or Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
As much as anybody else.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg got 96 votes, and he got 50. The Senate vote. Doesn't matter.
Okay. So let's get to the important thing, which is what Wilbon brought up, the UFC. Conor McGregor, who is an enormous star in this country now, who uses all of his public forums to be vulgar and antagonistic and just where you just say to yourself, at least I don't know if you say it, I think to myself, could somebody just punch him out? I mean, shut up.
Increasingly, that's happening.
He's cursing about everything all the time. You know, he's completely appears to be out of control. The guy who beat him was out of control. Was out of control afterwards.
Yep.
What kind of sport is this? I mean, I know I'm sounding like an old man here, and I don't believe that boxing, as crazy as boxing was, these sorts of riots seem to happen all the time in this particular sport. And the commissioner, Dana White, is a private businessman who understands that this is an enormous moneymaker and probably thinks to himself, let's have more of this.
Yeah.
This is really good for our brand because a lot of people don't like us anyway. Let's have this particular appeal. I think these people should actually be arrested and tried. I actually do. And I rarely said that about
boxers. You mean for the outside of the ring mayhem?
Yes.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what are you doing?
Jump into the crowd and start beating someone up.
What is that?
Like, and also,
which set off sort of a melee.
Which then set off.
Yeah. By the way, these are not the biggest guys in the world either.
No.
McGregor is.
But they're among the toughest.
Yeah, they're extraordinarily tough. But if you went up against a guy like John Cena, who actually is really
he's massive.
Big,
huge.
You know, he would just pick you up by your neck and toss you. So, what do you make of it?
Well,
and the entourage is because then when Khabib jumps out of the ring, like a couple of his guys go in the ring
and start beating up
and
McGregor.
Go at McGregor, who just lost anyway. He's just sitting there. It's nuts.
What I thought of is, as a long time and still fan of professional wrestling,
right?
I thought that this it had all the vibe of a professional wrestling, which is, you know, obviously staged. Sorry, spoiler alert. And but it's not. I don't know. I mean, I just got a tweet from McGregor. He says, "We lost the match, but won the battle. The war goes on," and it's him drinking like whiskey or something, standing there in a Dolce & Gabbana shirt because they're going to fight again. There is going to be the largest.
He's the biggest
star,
maybe in sports, other than LeBron James.
Dana White, I think, he was doing everything he could to not be like, this is so great.
This
is fantastic. But
we're going to do this every time.
I mean, you know.
Is this possible?
Feigning that
couldn't
he's a Paul.
Be greater for them.
Isn't
There'll
it
be a
possible
rematch.
That he tells these people, and by the way, afterwards, if you want to go wild, go wild.
I would think after this,
well, Tony, I mean, the nature of this sport, I mean, it is so primal. It's so sort of rage-filled at its core.
I refuse to call it a sport.
Yeah, well, what if they outlawed blows to the head? Would you be a bigger fan of it then? If they weren't allowed to hit each other in the head?
You know, I don't know. I just like I think the way that he got him to tap out is underrated. The reverse naked choke. I don't really know what that is, but I like it. You know?
Yeah.
Doesn't involve your clothes off, apparently. I looked. Yeah. Check that out.
They're three quarters naked.
Reverse naked choke.
I guess it appears to me that they're actually trying to kill each other.
You could kill him. Yeah. I mean, they had to peel him off, Khabib, off of McGregor, because he wouldn't let go.
Well,
he was literally choking him to death.
How about the things that McGregor had said of him?
Yeah.
Time and time again. And at some point, you snap, it seems to me.
Also, to Gary's point, you're fighting him with your... I mean, it is primal.
You don't think you feel like you're fighting for your life in there? I mean, you absolutely do.
He's choking him out. Yeah. Like, they have to peel him off, and he can't... McGregor is, like, losing consciousness.
I saw a fight where a guy got hit in his ear, and cauliflower sprouted out, looked like an alien came out of his head. And you think in boxing, they'd be like, all right, well, that's it. But not in this. The other guy just comes up and starts punching him in the ear as hard as he can. I mean, it's very gladiatorial.
I saw one where the guy kicked. He did a kick, and he just snapped his leg in two.
I saw that one.
It
wrapped around the other guy.
I can't watch it.
You cannot think this is good for the culture. You just cannot think this is done. We are not advanced when we do this.
You're going to get more.
I know.
They'll announce the rematch in a week.
Of course. All right, let's get out of here. We will come back. We will have a jingle.
We'll
have some email. Though Michael is not here, Nigel has the email.
Yes.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Harry's razor, SeatGeek, and the Blue Apron ad. Yeah, 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 yeah. Bought some MeUndies, bought Firstly. Yeah, 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 yeah. This ratchet gets you into narrow spaces with ease. Yeah, 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 yeah. But Tony, you can't screw in a light bulb.
Yeah.
I don't know, let's just call that a hunch. So when I hear you talking about a 3-degree arc swing, it makes me lose my lunch. Now I don't believe you're gonna do it yourself.
I'm not.
Do it yourself. But yes, I believe you'll call a worker man if you need some help.
Joe Arrow, lyrics and vocal. Joe Arrow.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Crushing it, Joe.
Love that.
REM's tribute to Andy Kaufman.
Yes.
Yes.
Man on the Moon. Man on the Moon, right?
Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Michael Wilbon for coming on with us today. Let me thank today's sponsors, Casper Mattresses, Lowe's, 23andMe. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We have brunch all day, and we have...
All day.
This evening for the Redskin game, we have New Orleans-themed food.
And three baseball games. Come on, watch the baseball. Yes, starting at 1 o'clock.
This is all sports.
Food to some degree.
Ron is going to cook. I said, what do you got? He goes, we'll see.
What do you got?
From Dave Morrow in Denver, Colorado, Graham Gano tied the NFL record for game-winning field goals with a 63-yard kick yesterday. That's amazing. The Redskins used to have a kicker with the same name. How many Graham Ganoes can you read? Unrelated, and excuse me if this is off the subject a little bit, but just take a guess at how much I can bench press. Come on. What do you think?
Do it.
From Jim Walsh in Annapolis, Maryland, it says, hopes that this helps my favorite dog walker. This is a composite photo of the
look,
moon.
Oh, yeah, look, the next page.
The phases of the moon.
Yeah, you'll see it right there.
Oh,
lovely for the people on News Channel 8.
Can watch a
moon over 28 days. Each photo taken at the same time each day at the same exact place. Yes, because the moon moves, or we move. Something's
hard to
moving.
It's hard to know.
One half
it's really
other.
Hard to know.
We're moving, or the moon is moving.
Mysteries.
From Patrick Thompson in New Orleans, this month Uranus will be as close to Earth as it ever is and will be visible to the naked eye. According to the article, the last time Uranus looked this spectacular was February 1963. I've included the link for reference so Nigel can print it out for you.
Don't want to see a picture of that.
Hampton Nager in Dallas, Texas, after taking time to define a portmanteau yesterday. I am now in doubt about how to characterize your use of Franklin Delano Roosevelt earlier in the week. The early money was on Delano being a spoonerism, but perhaps you are portmanteauing like a champ and don't even know it. In other news, I forgive you for thinking that a word blending the sounds and combining the meanings of two others was actually portmanatee, which, as we all know, are an endangered species threatened by high-speed malaprops on boats. Putting the tax in Simtax, I am Hampton Nager. From Ari Motichin in New York City, the other day, Saliza mentioned that he listens to the show even when he's not on. That's a very wise choice on his part, because those are always the best episodes. From Bob
I'm
Hussey.
I'm going to come up there and find you, Ari.
Bob
New York's
Hussey,
not a big city.
In Wake Forest, North Carolina, but he says, I consider myself a Cape Codder. So I took Breslin's advice. I bought a handful of Bics. My writing still sucks. No one will hire me. What am I doing wrong?
Hey, kid, you got a Bic?
From Major Thomas Peters in the Canadian Armed Forces. I'm planning on updating... Major Tom, ground control to Major Tom. I am planning on updating my current Craftsman 40-piece 90-tooth ratchet set, and since you're now a ratchet expert, I was looking for your advice. Should I go with the Steelman Pro Cobra 160-tooth set, the one with a 2.25-degree arc swing, or the Channel Lock 0-degree gearless ratchet? I think the Channel Lock is a bit gimmicky, don't you? I've also been told that Right Tool 6400 knurled steel handle ratchet is good, only has 45 teeth, but it exceeds ASME B 107, 110 standards. What do you think is the better value? We're doing commercials for Lowe's Craftsman here.
We're in the Lowe's Craftsman business.
Did you not hear the 3-degree arc swing?
Yes. With a slim head. We're going for that.
Get you in tight places.
That's what you do.
From Benjamin Madrell, who writes, Mahomes sounds like Dylan from the Nashville Skyline album. He has a crazy voice. You can't believe that voice is coming out of him. Todd Alexander in San Diego loved it on Thursday's show when Tony said, Seattle is louder than a steam engine. Thanks for reminding us that you're really old. Could have gone louder than a horseless carriage, but no, you went for the steam engine. Thanks, Grandpa.
Louder than a printing press.
From Wade Harley in Queenstown, Maryland, close to the 213 and 309 intersection, which I know well. It has been reported on the Twitter that Copper the Dog has been playing all season with two torn ACLs.
Yes.
Copper the Dog has all the intangibles, always on time, always plays with the same intensity, inspires others like Reginald. The dog brings it every week, and yet still no jingle. Hashtag sad, tell Joe Arrow. The dog has two torn ACLs.
Yeah. Yes.
Will it be all right?
I believe the dog will be all right. I was in communication with Jason over the weekend.
Well, I hope the dog's all right.
Yeah, Tori was recommending a vet for him.
It was Matt a non-contact injury.
Yeah. You couldn't get the Caps to bring the Stanley Cup to Chatter? Did you even try showing them the email from Bill Isaacson's brother?
Might have helped.
Might have. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
If I wish one of your guys had children, if I could kick them in the head or stomp on their testicles so you can feel my pain, because that's the pain I have.
Every day we can.
Father, I do not hope to be a bother. Could I have taken any longer? Could I have made it any wronger? Mama, if I meant it, I was hoping that there exists some kind of potion. I didn't choose you, I was chosen. Father,
I will say.